Well, I want to preach once again from his word this morning. And these last few Sundays, I've been in the book of Haggai. And I think the book of Haggai has often been overlooked. It's a minor prophet. It's often been overlooked. And so I hope these last two Sundays have been helpful for you. They've given you new insights and a fresh vision from his word. So this morning we'll be continuing in the book of Haggai, but before we turn to the word this morning, I want us to consider together what is your greatest characteristic. You started laughing and I looked right at you when I said it. What is your greatest characteristic? Think for a moment. You might have to ask if a loved one sitting near you or someone else in the congregation, what is your greatest characteristic? What is it that defines you? Hopefully something's coming to your mind. And even if you're really shy and bashful, just think of what someone else has probably said to you at one point or another, your greatest characteristic. Now, I want us to consider for a moment, what is God's greatest characteristic? What is the greatest characteristic of God? Think with me for a moment. Greatest characteristic of God. Many of you are having things flood your mind. Some of you perhaps are thinking about God's love. That his love is his greatest characteristic. Others, you would say it's grace. Some would say mercy. Some would say it's his forgiveness. Some of you might say it's his power. But I want to propose to us this morning that the greatest characteristic of God is his holiness. His holiness. God's holiness is actually what defines every other attribute of God. We would say this morning that God's love is a holy love. His grace is a holy grace. His mercy and power, they are holy, for God is holy. Some of you know the story of Isaiah as he was called. There's the story of Isaiah as he sees God seated on his heavenly throne, and he describes what he is seeing and hearing. And in that description found in Isaiah, Isaiah says that the seraphs, these heavenly creatures, they were surrounding the throne that God was seated on. And all they were saying was, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, in Jewish writing, anytime you see something appear three times in a row, you can guess that it's probably really important. Okay? 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 Three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holiness is what defines God, and holiness is what should define God's people. So what is holiness? Holiness is the state of being holy. It means to be set apart. And so in the scriptures, we can see that both objects and people can be holy. So in the Old Testament, we see that sacrifices were made holy, that utensils were made holy, that the temple was made holy, but we also see that people were to be set aside for God and his purposes. This morning we can say and know that holiness comes from the Lord. That same call that has existed throughout God's word still exists today. It remains for us that we are called to be set aside for the Lord. We are called to be holy. We're called to be filled with his presence this morning. We are called to be transformed into the likeness of his son, Jesus. It's only possible, though, through the blood of Jesus, by his grace through faith. And it is God's desire for all of us to be holy. God wants you to be holy. Right? So it's not just something that we might desire for ourselves. God wants all of us to be holy. We see that from the very beginning when we were created in his image. He made us to be holy. So holiness is a big deal. In Scripture, holiness was a big deal to the children of Israel, and it should be a big deal for us today. God says in Leviticus chapter 19, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God's not messing around. God doesn't play games. So Lord, help us today to be set free from ourselves. So we're going to continue in Haggai, and just to catch you up, if you're visiting with us or are tuning in maybe for the first time, this is the third week in this series from Haggai. In the first week, we looked at Haggai chapter 1. And Haggai chapter 1 was all about misplaced priorities. There was a remnant of the Jewish people who had returned out of captivity to Jerusalem. A small group of 50,000 people made the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, and they returned and they began to reestablish the temple. They laid the foundation, but then for 16 years they neglected God's house, and the temple lay in ruins. And so in Haggai chapter 1, the word of the Lord came through Haggai, and he began to shake them a little bit to get their priorities back in order. He calls them out on their unfaithfulness. You see, the people for 16 years had been worried about themselves, their own homes, while God's house was left unattended. So if you're with us in the first week of this series, you remember God saying in Haggai chapter 1, he said, "Give careful thought to your ways." And that word stirred their hearts, and they restarted the rebuilding once again. Then last week was our second week in this series, and we began in chapter 2 of Haggai. 1 month had passed from that first calling of the Lord. And after 1 month of work, last week we discovered that the people became discouraged. They became disappointed because they were in the midst of this rebuilding project, but some of the older folks who remembered the former temple were disappointed, because it was so much smaller. It kind of paled in comparison to their memory of how things used to be. And we talked about the glory days. But last week, the Lord spoke once again. And he said, even though they are disappointed in this temple, he gave them a promise. He said that my glory would come, that God's glory would come and fill that house. And so they were encouraged to be strong. Three times. Catch that. Three times the Lord said, be strong, be strong, and be strong. So that leads us this morning to Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Today we're going to look at verses 10 to 19. And just so you know, if you're tracking along this morning, two more months have passed. And so our first reading was in September. Then last week was October, and now it's going to be December. Two more months have passed. And as we read this word, I'm very aware this morning, as the lights dim, I'm very aware this morning that this passage might be unfamiliar to you. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon preached from Haggai, and certainly not from this passage. So we just kind of name that up front. This might be unfamiliar to you. So there's good news this morning. It might be unfamiliar, but the good news is God may want to do something new today. God might want to say something fresh. After all, these words were included in God's word, and they served a purpose. That's why God spoke through Haggai. I believe they'll speak to us today. So let's be open to what the Lord might want to say. Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. So again, for a moment, if you were with us the last 2 weeks, every time the Lord was speaking the first 2 weeks, he was speaking to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. He was speaking to the governor and the high priest and the remnant. Here, the word of the Lord is coming to Haggai the prophet, and he is now speaking to just the priests. Verse 12 says, "Ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment," okay, picture, consecrated meat, meaning meat that has been set aside, it's been made holy, consecrated meat in the fold, I'm sure they weren't wearing a pink shirt, but in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? So do you get the picture? Consecrated holy meat meant for sacrifice in the fold of a garment, and the fold of the garment touches something else. This is the question. Does it become holy? Do those other things it touches become holy? And the priests, they answer, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body, if a person who is unclean because they've touched a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled or unclean? Great question. Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. It's unclean. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And there is a lot for us to navigate. There's a lot for us to consider in this passage. But there are really only two concepts at work here. Two concepts for us to consider this morning. So if you're taking notes, write these two things down. One concept is holiness, and one concept is impurity. Holiness and impurity. So Haggai receives this word from the Lord, and he shares this parable of sorts to reveal truth. And these words brought a new awareness to their lives. So I've been praying that this word would help me and help us to bring an awareness to us this morning. The Lord is saying through Haggai, it is easier to spread impurity than it is to spread purity. It is easier to spread impurity than to spread purity. I have an illustration this morning to hopefully help us with this, because we need to visualize this perhaps this morning. I have just a pitcher of some simple water, Marshalltown water, so I'm sure it's good, sure it's clean. I don't know if when I preach in Ames this afternoon if I can say the same thing. But, I might have to edit that out of the video. Anyways, this is good, wholesome, clean Marshalltown water. But what happens if an outside influence comes in contact with this water? What happens when we spread impurity? Very quickly, it changes. And it doesn't take very much to change this. So you can see how quickly something that was clean can become defiled. But yet, if I want to say, take something clean and pure, and just to demonstrate for the benefit of our viewers at home, this is good Marshalltown water. If I want to take something clean and pure and try and transform something unclean, it's not going to happen. Haggai is saying it is so much easier to spread impurity than purity. Or perhaps an even more relevant illustration for us today is coronavirus. It is so much easier for someone who is infected with coronavirus to spread coronavirus than for me, someone who is healthy, to spread my healthiness. If I had that ability, I probably would just hang out at the hospital every day and I'd come in with my pass and say, it's okay, I'm clean, I'm healthy, I'm here to give everyone else my healthiness. But we know it doesn't work quite that way. So the word of the Lord comes through Haggai, and he's trying to paint this picture. He is trying to get their attention. You see, under the Old Testament law, if a priest were carrying consecrated holy meat from the temple sacrifice, and it happened to touch some other food, it would not make that other food holy, for holiness cannot be spread like that. But if a priest touched a dead body, he himself would be defiled and unclean based on the law found in Numbers chapter 19, and everything else he touched would also be defiled. The Lord is saying, so it is with this people and this nation. And I don't know if you caught that as we're reading the text together. The word of the Lord through Haggai, God is saying, this people and this nation. It's not really that nice. It's not my people and my nation. It's this people and this nation. The word of the Lord is strong. The Lord is making a strong point through Haggai. He's saying, whatever the people did and whatever they were offering, it was unclean. It was defiled and unholy. So if they were not going to turn from their impurity and their injustice, then whatever they would do, whatever they would build, whatever they would offer, it would be impure. So this is kind of an interesting word of the Lord, because if you're following along closely and you're tracking time with us over these weeks, the rebuilding has already started. We saw last Sunday together, like the word of the Lord spurred them on, and they were rebuilding. They were rebuilding, they quit after a month, but then they were continuing in their work. So the timing of this is a little strange, it's a little interesting, but here's the point. Here's the point I believe the Lord was trying to make. The Lord was saying that just working on the temple, just working on the temple was not going to make them holy. And we know that today. It's like when we say to one another, just going to church, it's not going to make you holy. And even if you've got the gold star and you come every Sunday, it's not going to make you holy. But we've made the mistake of just thinking that going to church is enough. But there are folks who are here this morning, and there are folks who are watching online that have been deceived. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you've been deceived. So going to church is not enough. Putting a few dollars in the offering plate, or these days our offering box, is not enough. Doing good deeds is not enough. But even as we're thinking about that together this morning, my heart in this is, why would you even want to settle for that when Jesus is offering so much more? He is offering an abundant life. Why would we settle with the bare minimum when he is offering everything through his son Jesus? I believe that God is doing a new thing in this season. I think God is doing a new thing on the earth right now. And from my perspective, just as a pastor, I think God is calling out louder and louder than ever before. But again, time and time again in the Word, it says that we have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. God is not removed from us. He is calling out to us. So let us consider our ways today. How has your life been going? Are you growing closer to God during this time? This is a great opportunity to take an inventory of your life. It's a moment to be honest with yourself, because the truth is God already knows the truth about you. And as God knows the truth about you, what would we say? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. God knows the truth about you. He's not turning away. He's not running from you. Here the Lord is speaking through Haggai, and he's bringing up the obvious. He's pointing out how things had not been going well for them. There was that 16-year period when they focused on themselves and they forsook the temple. They neglected it, and for 16 years, things didn't go well. The harvest had been poor year after year. Here, we read this morning, they were getting less than half of what they should have been getting. And then God himself says through Haggai, God himself says, I was the one who struck your crops. And we're like, the farmers this morning were like, thanks, God. You're the one that sent the mildew and the blight and the hail and the storms. Thanks for that. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God do that? He was trying to get their attention. And even still, they did not return to the Lord. So for 16 years, the temple laid in ruins, God's house neglected, and you'd think they would have noticed the issue. You'd think they would have put things together and began to understand, like we said the last 2 weeks, well, maybe we should be about the Father's business. Maybe we should rebuild the temple, the place where God dwells. Maybe that has an impact on the rest of our lives. You'd think they would have caught on. But you'd be wrong, because that's my story, and that's probably your story. For a long time, many of us probably lived in this place of neglecting the Lord, or neglecting the calling on our lives. And as a result, we weren't receiving the full blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord is not some wonderful abundance of wealth and riches. That would be a false gospel. The blessing of the Lord is the promise of his Son Jesus Christ, and the blessing of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The blessing, the promise, is new life through Jesus Christ. So we can't be too hard on God's people that they didn't catch on, because that's our story. I don't hear as much these days, but for a while, there was this saying, you do you, I'm gonna do me. That was the perspective of the world. You do you, I'm gonna do me. You take care of yourself, you find your way, you find your truth, I'll worry about myself. The problem with that is it leaves no room for God. And God's not looking for just a little space in your life. He's actually looking for all of your life. He's asking for surrender of all that you are. But there's something else that's happening here in our text this morning. You see, I think what happened was, when that faithful remnant of people left Babylon and came back to Jerusalem, they may have begun to think, like, being back in Jerusalem, the holy city, was enough. And it brings us back to where we started this morning, that idea of just doing churchy things, just being a part of a church is enough. It's going to be enough. That's what the Lord is looking for. You know, to be honest, the church and pastors are a lot more concerned about attendance than Jesus is. Okay, Jesus doesn't want your attendance. He wants your heart. He wants all of you. The natural outflow of you giving your heart to him is probably you're going to want to be in attendance. You're going to want to gather. But Jesus wants all of you this morning. So here is this faithful remnant that had returned. They were the ones who were faithful. They were the ones that had started to rebuild, who laid that foundation. We find that story in Ezra, but then the time passes. And in reality, during that time, the time they neglected the Lord and his temple, they were defiled. They were unclean. So everything they did was polluted. It was unclean. It was unholy. Now God is reminding them of all of this. So how did they respond? The word tells us from that day on, they were faithful to rebuild. They had finally listened and obeyed. And God says, from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. But that blessing was not yet a visible blessing. It was just a promise from the Lord. God promised that blessing would come. He promised that harvest would come. But he also says it's going to be a visible blessing. It's going to be an undeniable blessing. So where does that leave us this morning here in Marshalltown, Iowa? What do we do with holiness? Because if we're honest, we would agree it's easier for us to spread sinfulness than holiness. Because we live in this fallen world. This is the condition surrounding us. And although it might be the condition that is surrounding us, it may be the condition of the fallen world, it's not God's intention. All around us, we may feel surrounded by evil and temptation, but we don't have to let it overwhelm us. There is another way. It is God's way. It is the way of holiness. But holiness is only found through Jesus Christ. I can't make you holy. Man, I don't know. This is off the cuff, as you would say. But man, don't you wish that churches just had that wooden bat, the holiness bat, and we could just come around and... Maybe not. Honestly, I would want to be first in line if it was that easy. No, hit me. Hit me with that. But I can't make you holy. I can't give you holiness. I can't impart the gift of holiness. I can only point you to Jesus this morning. Each one of us must consider our ways. Each one of us has to make a decision today. A person's heart and life is only made holy in a relationship with God. His Holy Spirit must dwell within us. This is the gift of God that is received through faith. I can't earn it. You can't earn it. We can't receive it by just being churchy. We actually have to relinquish our rights, our lives, and receive the new life that he is offering to us. God alone can cleanse our hearts. Peter made this point at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given and poured out. He said in this famous sermon, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." So where are you today? Are you truly living for Jesus? Are you at peace this morning? Are you filled with his Spirit? If not, then consider your ways. Maybe today is the day to return to the Lord. And if you've been struggling with sin, take encouragement from the man after God's own heart, David. David, guilty of adultery and murder, wrote these words in Psalm 51, verse 12. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." He wrote that as a desperate and broken man because he knew that he had hurt God's heart. That's what our sin does. It breaks God's heart. Certainly there are consequences to our sin and our actions. It hurts other people. It hurts us. But most of all, it breaks God's heart. God hates sin. So David repented of his sin. He desired nothing but to be in God's presence. And he found a new day, a new season. I don't know about you, but this morning, I feel like we're in desperate need of the glory of God. And I think it's time for us to make God our priority once again. It might be time for us to repent. I do know it is time for us to seek God first and to trust him with everything else, to seek him continually and not to be caught up with the anxieties of the world, but to seek him and to trust him. And he is faithful. He promises to give of himself. He promises to give us the Holy Spirit. And that blessing of God doesn't mean he takes away all of our problems. Instead, it means he will be with us in the midst of everything we face. And it means we can be with him for all eternity. But those better days are only found through repentance. Friends, repentance is the door. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. And I don't know that I've ever really zoned in on that before. The end of that statement, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Here's what I think a lot of us do. God begins to move and speak to us. We begin to feel some conviction, which is a blessing from the Lord. It brings correction. But we don't fully surrender. And we leave that place, that moment, or we leave the altar with regret. So I think maybe we need to be like David and say, rend my heart. Break my heart for what breaks your heart, Lord. At the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That pretty much summarizes what we've been talking about this morning. Haggai tells us to never underestimate the holiness of God, but also let's not underestimate the sinfulness of humanity. Let's not neglect the wonder of his holy grace, for we are called to be holy as he is holy. If God's greatest characteristic is his holiness, then what should our greatest characteristic be this morning? And before you shut your ears or turn away from God, please know this. It is not too late. Even now, declares the Lord through the prophet Joel. Even now in Joel chapter 2. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. And who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. And then Joel chapter 2, verse 32 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know who is included in everyone? Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There will be deliverance for those who pursue God with a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And that deliverance sets us free from sin, but it also sets us free from ourselves so that we can serve the Lord our God. God's greatest characteristic is holiness. We are called to be holy, for our Lord the God, our God is holy. So we're called to live a holy life, but it's not just for us. It's for his name. It's for his glory. It's so we can be set free from ourselves and our own pursuits and that we can do the work that God is calling us to do. And friends, these last few weeks, I've been more than excited because I think God is doing a new thing. I think God is calling his people back to a place of repentance. I think God is filling us fresh and anew with his Holy Spirit. And I think God is stirring our hearts to be about the Father's business, to go out in his name. And finally, not just be those who talk about the word, but be those who are doers of the word unto the glory of the Lord. Amen. So as we said last week, God gives us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. I want us to close in prayer this morning and we'll have a closing song together. But based on the word that we've heard from the Lord through the prophet Haggai, this is one of those moments where we need to assess where we are, to take inventory of our lives. If there is anything impure, unholy about us, then don't leave this moment. Don't leave this place with any regrets. This is the moment. Consider your ways, says the Lord. Consider your ways. Why would you settle for living this half life, this lukewarm Christianity, when God has so much more for us? So I invite the worship team to come up. And I invite you to respond in prayer in these moments. If you need to come to the altar, then come to the altar. Don't leave this place with any regrets. Be made fresh and anew this morning. Jesus Christ's blood was shed for you. And as Joel 2:32 says to us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That, my friends, is a promise. So if you want to come, come and pray. But let us enter into this sacred and holy moment of prayer where we surrender all that we are to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for this new thing that you're doing. Father, we pray in this moment if there is anything in our heart or our lives that is impure and unholy, Lord, we confess our sins. And your word tells us if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us of all of our sin, all unrighteousness. Father, we know that Jesus is coming back one day and he's coming back for our pure and spotless bride. Lord, I just sense that you are preparing your bride these days. Lord, we want to be done with the half-hearted Christianity. We want to be done with being lukewarm. Father, we pray for fresh fire to fall. Lord, that would just burn away all that we are. Fill us fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, your presence, and your power. Not for us, but to your name, to your glory, Father. So, Father, I pray for each one who is here and each one who is listening online, Lord, that we would be marked today, that we would be touched by you, that we would sense your presence and your power, and that we would step into the calling that you've placed upon us each one of us as a priest in the priesthood of all believers, each one of us called to go out and to live a faithful and holy life, sharing the good news of the gospel. Father, I pray we would do it in a new way, with the hope of glory, Lord, a new day, a new day. We ask and we pray this morning in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we praise the Lord this morning? Can you give him a praise offering?